today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Canadians can now walk 1,100 feet above the ground with no visible means of support.
Los Angeles is turning the freeway known as the parking lot into, well, a parking lot, sort of. Details in the news.
We're joined live in studio, as we promised, with two special guests, one a pilot from Virgin American Airways.
And our second guest in studio is a frontline agent for a major international airline. Ever have a question you wanted to ask the pilot? Ever wanted to know why airlines do things that make no sense? You are invited to be a part of the conversation today and call and be a part of this most unique program today on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks, I want a Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Yes, sir. It's that time once again, ladies and gentlemen, for another episode of the Travel Guys and Entertainment Radio program. This is Tom Romano across the way in his Route 66 colorful shirt, Sports Leisure Vacations, Mark Hoffman. Mark, I love that shirt.
Thank you. Welcome back to the studio. Welcome back to
I can tell it's been a while. Yeah. Wait, weren't you here last week?
I was.
They moved the microphone on and off button, yeah. I think, since he was here last
year. How are you, sir? You made a trip to San Antonio?
We did. We went to San Antonio, did the Towers of America, the Riverwalk. When I visit my daughter there, the main two things three, really. We play games. We eat and we drink, and I know there's lots more to do.
In San Antonio by the Riverwalk, there are lots of choices for that. They're in San Antonio. The Riverwalk's in the news today.
Yes, it is. Yes. And let's see. I also want to mention that went to the international, or should I say national, model train show, which is at Convention Center, 135,000 square feet and more. Model trains than you can shake a stick
at. In downtown Sacramento.
Yep.
Right now as we speak?
As we speak until 5 this afternoon.
Wow.
So hey, anyway, I love it.
Well, if we're going to do the entertainment stuff on the front end, why don't we tell people that – do you know, we had a guest on the air a few weeks ago from goldstar.com. And so remember that, goldstar.com. That's where you go for half-price tickets and reduced-price tickets on things. And every week they have all kinds of neat stuff. The comedy clubs around town, if they're not sold out, why they've got tickets at reduced rates. There was a Giants game on there. There was a Hornblower yacht cruise. All kinds of stuff. So you really should be if you get out and do things around Sacramento. And listen, dollars are tight. So if you want to save a buck, goldstar.com is a really a great place to go. Also, we got a notice here that the California Musical Theater, which has the Cosmopolitan Cabaret downtown, has some limited $20 tickets for Defending the Caveman, which is a great comedy that's going on down there right now. $20 tickets, CosmopolitanCabaret.com.
And if you've seen it once, see it again, because they're kicking off a new Caveman starting next week, I might point out.
I'm surprised they haven't come and asked for you.
Thanks a lot. All right. We've got Henry Bernacki here. He is our airline pilot that was on several weeks ago. You're going to get a chance to call in and talk to Henry, ask a few questions. So get ready for that. Right now, though, let's play the little soundtrack. It's the Mark Hoffman Trio, ladies and gentlemen, the background music for the travel news.
Canada's National Tower is opening its new extreme attraction, Edgewalk, at the CN Tower in Toronto. The first of its kind in North America, Edgewalk is the world's highest full-circle, hands-free walk on a ledge encircling the top of CN Tower's main pod. It is 1,168 feet above the ground. Adventure walkers will walk hands-free in groups of 6 to 8 while attached to an overhead safety rail via a trolley and harness system.
A lot of people will not go hands-free. They will be hanging on to somebody.
Trained edgewalk guides will encourage visitors to push their personal limits, allowing those who dare to lean back over Toronto with nothing but the air beneath them. I can see Henry is making notes already. Everyone who meets the stipulated requirements, height and weight parameters will be welcome to experience the open-air views of Toronto and Lake Ontario. The two new Segway tours are opened up this month. Last week we told you how Segways have been banned from the streets of the sidewalks of Boston. But here's a better idea. There are new Segway tours in San Francisco's Golden Gate Park. The 8-mile narrated route explores the eastern section of the park on winding trails and bike routes, not pedestrian paths. Riders see the park's best views and hidden locations while listening to the history and tales of this oasis in the city.
If you see somebody that looks like me on a Segway, get out of the way.
Get out of the way, yes. If you're going to ride one of those things, please take a training course. There's a new wine tasting cruise in San Francisco, anchored in the heart of San Francisco's Fisherman's Wharf, the Red and White Fleet. Has just launched a wine tasting cruise on San Francisco Bay. They are partnering with the cable car sightseeing company and the winery San Francisco on Treasure Island to provide a unique sunset cruise. It departs from Pier 43.5 at 6:30 on the second Thursday and Friday of each month until November, and it sounds pretty cool to me.
I bet you the wine and golf guys are going to be all over that.
I'll bet they will. At Disneyland, speaking of soft travel news, there's a new ride at Disneyland. The Little Mermaid has been redone. It involves a dark ride that simulates, now by dark, they're talking about going underwater.
Yes.
In clamshell vehicles, and the characters met on the ocean floor will seem familiar because many of them have the same voices as in the Academy Award-winning movie.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, isn't that sweet?
I'm big on that.
Tom, as you mentioned, San Antonio is in the process of expanding its famous Riverwalk.
Yay.
When the full extension is completed in 2013, the Riverwalk will stretch to 3 additional missions outside of town and add more hiking and biking trails to the setting. Currently, the Riverwalk winds among hotel and restaurants downtown area. And finally, in the travel news, well, I guess we got two more things here. Los Angeles is turning the 405, frequently referred to as the parking lot, into an actual parking lot next weekend. They are closing that freeway down for resurfacing and construction. And some of the hotels down there have gotten extremely creative. For example, you can get 40.5% off at one hotel, or you can get a room. The standard rate at this other property called Shutters on the Beach, I've never heard of this place, but it must be fairly exclusive because it gets $610 a night. So now it's only $405,
oh, yeah.
Of course, yes.
Boy, if you lived in that area, I think that'd be a good time to take a week off.
Yeah, exactly, or a weekend, or just hibernate. 53 hours of absolute gridlock in Los Angeles. If you're planning to go there next weekend and you're planning to go anywhere, good luck to you. Aeromexico begins flying nonstop from Guadalajara to Sacramento next week. I checked online this morning, found some fares for as low as $330 round trip, not including taxes and fees. So if you are inclined to go to Mexico, we now have nonstop service again as of next week. And finally, another airline thing that I thought was worthy of mentioning, since rarely do you see anyone anymore offer nonstop service to Hilo on the Big Island of Hawaii, in the state of Hawaii, and United Airlines has started nonstop service between Los Angeles and Hilo on a daily basis, and they're going to go from San Francisco once a week. And I love Hilo because it is the real Hawaii.
Absolutely.
It's the way Hawaii used to be before it all exploded.
I like the other side of the island. I like Kona. I find Hilo a little windy.
Yeah.
And I'm always concerned I'm going to fall in a lava tube and never be found.
Well, and it rains a bit there, too.
It does.
But that's a nice island to be on because within a couple hours you can go from one, you can go from one to the other. You could stay on the Big Island for, let's just go now.
I'm
ready.
We'll see you. Bye. Oh, wait. All right.
Back in here. We still have 45 minutes to go, plus we have some guests today.
Is that the travel news?
All right. That is the travel news. We have a couple of very special guests joining us in studio, and we're going to introduce them to you right after the break. If you have a question that you would like to ask an airline pilot, or if you have a question you would like to ask somebody who works on the front lines, who is behind the counter, that's that person that you go up to and you yell at, or you plead with, or you beg to, or you stomp your foot, or those people are here in studio today. And when we come back right after this message, you're going to get a chance to meet them. I'm Mark Hoffman with Tom Romano. We are the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530.
All my bags are packed. I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up, to say goodbye.
Leaving on a jet plane, what do you think's next? We're the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. Tom Romano with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark, it's great to have Henry in studio. You said that he was going to come. You know, I was a disbeliever.
Well, it's you, as we have tried for a year and a half to get an airline pilot on with the air with us, and then Henry was good enough to come on. And then when I asked him if he would come up, actually it was Yuki who got Henry up here. And we'll introduce her in just a moment because she's here in studio with us. But so it is a pleasure indeed to have Henry Bernacki, who is a pilot for Virgin America Airways. Airways, is that right, the way they say it?
Yes.
Airways, okay. And Yuki Gallatin. Yuki works for a major international carrier at San Francisco Airport. And Yuki is the person that you see at the front desk, that you see at the gate, that you see in the jetway. She has a lot of different jobs and responsibilities, and I thought it would be incredibly fascinating to have both a pilot and somebody from the front lines here in studio with us today. I could talk to them until 5:30 without interruption, but we would like to know if you have something that you would like to share with them, something, question that you would like to ask. Maybe you're part of the airline industry, and you'd like to have a short conversation. Our numbers are 921-1530 and 1-800-834-1530. Again, if you'd like to call and be a part of the program, 921-1530 or 1-800-834-1530.
And we'll be keeping Henry and Yuki here through most of the show, so if you want to formulate a question between now and then, and give us a call once again, 921-1530 and 1-800-834-1530.
Henry, you've been an airline pilot now for
Over 10 years now.
Okay. And you've flown for a variety of different carriers. And,
yes.
And when we talked before, you said one of the reasons you were doing that was because you wanted to be able to fly – you wanted to be able to fly different types of aircraft.
That is correct, yes.
And so now you're working for Virgin America.
I am Virgin America since February 08 is when I – and that was 6 months after we launched.
And so you fly out of San Francisco, obviously.
Yes, we have bases in L.A., JFK, and Dulles as well.
Oh wow! So you guys are getting around, so to speak.
We are expanding quite rapidly, yeah.
So all of your flying now right now is domestic.
It is. I mean, we used to go to Canada and we go to Cabo and Cancun, but I still consider those pretty domestic.
So all North America.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And Henry, you were telling me that you grew up here in the States.
I did.
You are from
Pennsylvania originally, and then most of that, and then split it to Colorado.
And you spent some time around Colorado Springs?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, all right. And Yuki,
yes.
You have worked, you told me, on the counter in San Francisco for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have some friends here in Sacramento, mostly at United, because that's where we take a lot of our groups through in Sacramento, folks who do those little things that really make all the difference in the world.
Yes.
Those little courtesies or those little things, like one of the gate agents noticing that I'm on a flight to Los Angeles and then a flight to Dulles and coming up to me and saying, you know what, there are seats on the Dulles flight this morning. Why don't you just go straight through? Those types of things. Is that the kind of thing that you do?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So your job is to make sure that the plane leaves.
On time.
Those are the two key words. Yeah,
on time. Two words.
Yeah, and how do you do that?
Well, we have to make it anyhow.
I'm always amazed at airlines that can stay on task and show up within 30 seconds of their time.
Especially when they're flying like across the pond. I mean, Henry, you were talking to us before when we talked about what do you do in the cockpit, and that, you know, there isn't really that much time sometimes on domestic flights, because if you're flying to L.A. from San Francisco, what's the airtime there? I mean, assuming that you get in on the first try.
Once the wheels are up?
Yeah.
48 minutes.
Yeah. So by the time you get up in the air, you're pretty much – it's time to come down.
Yeah, exactly. You get up to cruise altitude. You literally have maybe 20 miles, 20 miles.
All right. So we are encouraging our listeners to give us a call today and participate in this conversation. 921-1530 and 1-800-834-1530 are the numbers to call. Kathy in Galt, you have a question about airplanes?
Yes, I do. We live about 25 or 30 miles south of the Sacramento International Airport, and in the evenings we can see the airplanes lined up, you know, one after another coming into Sacramento International. But I'm just kind of curious. I often can hear the airplanes changing maybe an engine or doing something that I can hear right about over my house. And at first it used to scare me, but now I know it's normal. Sometimes it's like the tone going from a high position to a low position or the opposite. And I'm just curious, what are they doing?
They're firing up their margarita blender. No, I'm sorry, that was Tom. I'm not. Yeah. No, that was Tom. He's stepping aside for Henry to give you the real answer.
Okay.
Thanks.
Well, thank you for calling in. I appreciate that. Usually, how many miles did you say you're away from the airport?
I'm guessing 25 or 30.
Okay, what they're normally doing is they could level off, and once you level off, you're going to add more thrust, and that's just going to spool up the engines. Or they're going to, after the spooling up, they're going to start the descent again.
After the spooling up?
Oh, yeah. I have to get away from the pilot angle. Sorry about that. Spooling up, you're just adding more thrust. Your thrust levers are going up and adding more.
Going faster.
Going faster, okay. Yes. The velocity is picking up, and all that means is the engine's going to roar up a little bit more. And once they are permitted to descend, to go to a lower altitude, they're going to pull the thrust back and make the engines go to idle. So you're hearing the revving up and down on these engines because of that. Maybe staying at a level flight, and then they can descend on down.
Oh, that's so interesting. At first, it was really scary to hear, and now I know to expect it. So now I know why they do it. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank
Kathy,
you.
Kathy, thanks for the call, and thanks for being a listener. We were talking before we went on the air about flying out of Washington National Airport and about how if you've never flown out of there before or into there, that there's very restricted and controlled airspace because of the White House and the Capitol and obvious reasons. And you can only fly, I'm guessing, Henry, there must be a very restricted space that you fly in.
Yes, very restricted, very closed off, and you have to watch those and guard those.
Okay, 921-1530 or 1-800-834-1530 are the numbers to call. We have Henry Bernacki and Yuki Gallatin in studio with us today, and they are frontline folks from the airlines. Henry is a pilot. Yuki works the front lines at San Francisco International Airport. Steve from San Jose is on the phone. Good afternoon, Steve.
Yes, good afternoon. Mr. Bernacki, good afternoon to you.
Hey there, how are you doing, Steve?
Hey, I'm doing well. You know, it's really an honor to speak with you. I heard your interview the last time you were on with the Travel Guys. Now I picked up a copy of your novel, No More Heroes, at Barnes & Noble.
That would be No More Heroes. You're breaking up a little bit there, Steve, but go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I have only one thing to say about the book. Awesome. It's like, move over, Mr. Steinbeck and Mr. Hemingway. Mr. Henry Bernacki is in town.
Yay. Oh,
wow. Well, I'm honored that you called in. Thank you very
Henry,
much.
Henry, we were going to talk about you. Henry has a book called No More Heroes. And Henry, you've led a pretty interesting life. I mean, you journeyed around the world kind of in as a street person.
Yes.
I mean, without a great deal of belongings or things like the possessions. You had an audience with Mother Teresa right before the end of her life. Tell us, how did that happen?
Well, 1 year in 1997, I just went around the world sleeping in the streets and spent $3,700. And primarily because I just graduated university and I had student loans, so I was paying back those, and I had $3,700 left. And I said, well, I can go traveling. And my parents thought I'd be back in a couple months. A year later, I came back, and I didn't have long hair. I didn't have a beard.
We're going to have to introduce him to Ben Schlappig, because if him and Ben ever get hooked up, they'll never come home.
Yeah, but I didn't come back with a robe or a beard or whatever. I had came back with a shaved head and a little bit of hair, and then I shave it off and on just to make it look more proper.
And so based on your experiences, you have written a book called, yes, No More Heroes. Which is what Steve is referring to, and is quite. I started reading it the other day in anticipation of you being in here with us on the air, and I put the book down after I started reading it because it was so interesting. I felt like I wanted to know you a little bit better before I read the rest of it, so I can understand Steve's analogy of the book. What made you an author?
I don't know if I'd label myself as an author. I'll let the general public or you say that. I'm just somebody that puts words together. But I appreciate that, and what Steve has said, I appreciate that very much. I just believe that I'm writing because of the interesting experience I have with people. And a lot of it's based on the dialogue that I have, but it's fiction. And the geographical settings are very, very accurate, but my dialogue comes from people that I meet from around the world.
So it's a fictional story in a non-fictional setting, perhaps.
Yes, plausible deniability.
Okay. All right. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. I am Mark Hoffman. Tom Romano is across from me.
Thank you very much.
And we have Yuki Gallatin and Henry Bernacki in studio with us today. We're going to have to take a break here at the bottom of the hour for the news. But as you can see, this is going to be a very interesting program. And you are invited to join the conversation, 921-1530 or 1-800-834-1530. If there's anything you've ever wanted to ask the airline pilot, or if there's anything you've ever wanted to know about the operations of an airline, those people are here today. And they can probably answer your questions.
We are the Travel Guys. We'll be back right after Aaron updates us on the news here on News Talk 1530 KFBK. Don't you move.
Welcome back to the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman along with Tom Romano here in the KFBK studios on Ethan Wayne's.
I thought July 4th was last week, Tom.
Yeah, Tom's fireworks are still going off.
I did not get enough fireworkage.
Aaron,
yes.
You said you had a question here for Yuki about traveling internationally.
I do. Yuki, you know, I've never traveled internationally, and I am a complete novice and green. What's the best advice you would give for flyers who've never tried internationally or flied internationally? How do they prepare themselves to do something like that?
Well, first of all, I would say be a good communicator.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any concerns, just ask us anything, mm-hmm. anything you're concerned,
mm-hmm.
like how many toilets in the aircraft,
right?
And do I get a meal,
right?
And do I have to take a shoe off,
yeah.
on the aircraft?
Yeah, the meal is very important to me, Yuki.
Now, Yuki, you work for an Asian carrier. So when you said something about taking shoes off, is that part of?
No, we don't have to do that. You don't have to do it.
But people ask that question.
If you're comfortable, yes.
Well, it's in the U.S., people take their feet off and put it up on the side of the aircraft. I mean, you've probably seen that, Henry.
I think their feet stay, but their shoes probably come off.
Aaron, you said you were concerned about the shots, too, whether you'd have to take shots before you traveled.
Right. I mean, that right? kind of a thing. Immunizations, vaccinations, things like
it
that.
It depends on the country you fly to.
Mm-hmm.
But in most of the Asia, it's not required, but I'm not very sure about it. So
okay.
be checked. Check the website where you're going to, your destination, and at the airport counter. Please do not be shy to ask anything.
Yuki, your airline has a lot to do with Japan, and I know that, you know, obviously there was a terrible catastrophe there a few months ago, and last night there was an aftershock
right.
Of 7.0. How are things in Japan? I mean, today, yesterday? I mean, are they coming back? Are they?
Eventually, there's no effect for flying,
mm-hmm.
coming in and out, fortunately. And I would say it is safe to fly. Do not to be afraid of flying to Japan now.
Right. But for the people, but there are still parts of Japan that obviously are not tourism friendly at this point in time,
mm-hmm.
I would guess. But what you're saying is that in with your airline, and you've got people flying to Asia every day, so you're how are the Asian folks reacting to the whole situation with the earthquake and the nuclear thing and stuff like that? You're in contact with those folks every day. Are they maintaining the stoic Asian sort of cultural? Are they afraid or are they controlled? Or
it's pretty much controlled, but the Asian people in this country doesn't know much about it, so we have to offer the information as much as we can. So not to be too afraid of earthquake and radiation. And
if I'm going on my first international flight, I've never flown internationally before, and I'm about to take a long trip across the pond, what would be the first couple of things that you would tell me that I would want to take with me on the airplane? You surely have flown across, back and forth across the pond. And then I'm going to ask Henry the same thing. So you go ahead.
Okay, I would say 2 major credit cards with you.
Did you sure. notice, Tom, the woman mentioned the credit card first?
Yeah. Okay.
And something else? Well, like on the plane, what would make you what would be the most important thing for somebody flying long distances?
Passport, please.
Yeah. See, she's a counter agent. You can tell.
Yeah, there you go. Wasn't talking about
all
the
right,
neck
Henry,
pillow.
All right, Henry, now she's in the airport when you leave, so she doesn't care about the neck pillow
right.
because that's not her concern. So, Henry, what would you tell me to take on what do you take on a long-distance international flight to be comfortable?
Excellent question. To be comfortable, you have a short-sleeved shirt and then a light jacket. So if it gets too cold, they're not going to change the temperature just for one person. So you have a light jacket, a change of socks.
So you've flown Southwest before. That was a cheap shot and unfair, but their planes are known for being cold.
Yeah, so you have to be warm at some point, or if you're too warm, you can take it off. And then a change of socks. So if you're flying 14 hours, you want a new pair of socks. And then dental floss and toothbrush and toothpaste. So once you're landing, you're fresh. You want to be off the plane. You want to be wide awake because that's the moment everything is new to you. You don't want to go through customs immigration to sleep. You don't want to forget your passport. You want to lose your money at that time. You don't want to do any of that stuff. So, yeah, you want to be wide awake when you get there. You want to be refreshed. You want to have some sleep on the flight. So those are the 4 things I would take.
Yeah, good suggestion.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yuki, I want to ask her a question.
Go right
real quick.
Ahead.
This may be my only opportunity ever, so here goes. what about your job do you enjoy most?
I get to see different passengers every day, and every day is different.
And what is the thing that you dread dealing with when you go to work?
See the same it. Everybody wants to get aisle seat, window seat, but someone has to sit in the middle.
Someone has to sit in the middle on every flight, yeah, in every row.
Well, we could just take those out, you know. You just either got the aisle or the window. And just
you're listening to the Travel Guys. We're on News Talk 1530 KFBK. Mark Hoffman with Tom Romano. Our guests in studio are Henry Bernacki. Henry is a pilot for Virgin America Airways. Sorry,
and it's that word "virgin" that's throwing you off.
It's throwing me off. Yeah, and Yuki Gallatin is here. Yuki is a counter agent at San Francisco International Airport for an international carrier. And we are inviting your calls at 921-1530 or 1-800-834-1530 if you have a question that you would like to ask a pilot. Do you have a question, Mr. Romano? Is that
I do. Henry, you know, in fact, when you were on last, we talked a lot about, you know, your interaction with the passengers.
Yes.
And I know that's real important to you, and I think it comes out in your style of writing and what you do in your book. Let's talk a little bit about that. I know a lot of airlines, you rarely get to see the pilot. If you do, it's kind of like right before they shut the door. How's it different with you?
We're asked to go out into the boarding area and make an announcement, introduce ourselves as pilots, as the captain or co-captain, say hello. If you have any questions, feel free to stop up in the cockpit and say hello.
In all the years I've been flying, that's happened twice.
Yeah, I remember you said Hawaiian Airlines.
Yeah, Hawaiian Airlines does it, yeah.
So we're supposed to, but it's quite busy at the beginning, so I typically don't, because I think the most important thing is safety. Get the airplane set up, make sure everything is together, the fuel, the in-flight if they need anything, the baggage handlers, everybody needs to come together. So if I'm out making announcements, I'm really disassociating from that whole process. So if the co-captain wants to do it, that's great. Then when they're boarding, everything's set up, I can go and introduce myself to passengers as they're coming on, and we do that.
Based on your experience, what is it that makes your passengers most comfortable, you know, before, during, and after a flight?
I believe it's the interaction. I mean, a lot of people still to this day, even after years of flying, they're still a little hesitant, they're still apprehensive about the whole process of the flying. And so I think if somebody's unsure about flying, if they're really uneasy, I invite them in the cockpit. Ask your questions. Sit up there. Not during the flight, of course. I always make that announcement. We always make an announcement before the flight.
Glad he clarified that. Yeah.
Yeah, during the flight, we're off limits, according to TSA. But before the flight, after the flight, always feel free on our airline, Virgin America, to go up and say hello to the pilots. The in-flight will say, yeah, go on up, step up there, and they can sit in the seat, ask questions, and one person will be up there all the time. Even the little kids can be. You don't have to be a little kid. Honestly, we give wings away to adults too, but it's that's what makes it a lot better.
Dan, I believe,
is
you.
The
let's take another call here. Dave in Sacramento sounds like he might be working. Hi, Dave.
Hi, how you doing?
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Travel Guys. You have a question about long flights.
Yes. Well, first of all, I enjoy San Francisco International Airport. They do a good job there. But my question is when I fly to the Philippines, I usually fly to Taipei or Japan, and we're all sardined into a plane where there's no leg room. But yet when we get to the Taiwan or Japan, then we put us on this big, giant, huge, beautiful plane for the four-hour flight. I'm just wondering why the plane, you know, why we're scrunched in on the long flight and we can stretch our legs on the short flight.
Wow. A lot of that, it just varies from carrier to carrier in terms of pitch on the seats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is philosophy of the airline in terms of, I mean, Henry, you work for, I mean, this is domestic now that we're talking about. But still, it's kind of apples to apples because it has a lot to do with the philosophy of the carrier in terms of how much legroom they're allowing.
Definitely.
How many seats they want to cram onto the aircraft.
That's exactly what it comes down to, the pitch, the legroom.
And by pitch, we're talking about people understand, it pitches the space from the front of one seat to the front of the next seat. So that's how many inches that is tells you, and it generally runs, if it's for comfortable, anything over about 33, 34 inches, a couple airlines are 35, Spirit is 30. Yeah. It's amazing how much difference that can make.
Are there certain airlines? This is for our caller. What airline are you referring to that has the cramped?
I've flown Cathay Pacific. That seemed very cramped. China Airlines.
Okay.
And Northwest.
Does it have something to do with the airlines that we're choosing here?
Maybe? Yes. I believe so. I flew actually in 05 to 08 before I joined Virgin. I was actually flying for China Airlines on the 744. And coming into San Fran, we bring the 747-400 is what I'm referring to. And that is quite cramped, but that is – obviously it's an Asian airline, so the pitch is not going to be as great. Because over there, they're just looking to get A to B, and the people are not really pursuing that comfort that somebody in the Western world is going to be wanting. So going into Taipei – and then they're going to probably put you on a 7-3, a little bit more leg room because people are just going there short haul. But, yeah, I would think on the long haul you'd like the pitch better, but they just want to fill those airplanes up with 400 people.
Hello, Economy Plus. That's kind of what that whole concept was about, was give people an option in economy. That was New Zealand is doing – or New Zealand is doing this now, creating a section in economy. You can pay a little bit more and get a little bit – let's take one more caller here before our break. Joan in San Jose, good afternoon to you. Welcome to the Travel Guys. Are you there, Joan?
Hello.
Hello. Are you there, Joan? I think Joan just picked up her phone and cut herself off.
call back.
Yeah, well, give us a call back, Joan. All right, let's take a break, and then we got to wrap up our program today. We've got a Travel Club update, and we'll get some final comments from Yuki and from Henry. If you've got a last-minute comment, 921-1530 or 800-834-1530, we are the Travel Guys.
Going places with that sports leisure flair. A world of adventure, and we take you there.
This is your Sports Leisure Travel Club member update for Sunday, July the 10th. The hit musical Billy Elliot is open to rave reviews in San Francisco. Limited run ends in September. Sports Leisure is offering you the chance to see Billy Elliot on August the 20th and 21st. We offer a wide variety of day trip outings 12 months out of the year. Have out-of-town visitors who need a day on their own? Call 361-TOUR. That's 361-8687. Or go to sportsleisure.com. For details. Sports Leisure Vacations is offering a variety of international destinations next year. Trips to New Zealand, Costa Rica, and a special Holland America cruise to Southeast Asia are among the available destinations. Is witnessing a concert by the Boston Pops in person on your bucket list? Our Christmas Concerts on the East Coast Tour offers the Kennedy Center, the Rockettes, and a Boston Pops Christmas concert all on 1-week-long December adventure. You can learn more about these and other Sports Leisure trips by visiting our website at sportsleisure.com or calling our office Monday morning at 361-8687. Registrations are now available for our tour preview day. This annual event is on August the 27th at the Marriott Hotel, and reservations are available for all three shows that day. Travel Club members, your newsletter will be in the mail this week. And finally, our lucky Travel Club member numbers for today. Tom, what did you do with those?
I don't know. They're Tom Romano,
yeah.
Number 9.
No, they're not Tom Romano. They
and
are.
His wife, Stephanie.
They're right here. Jim Turner and Onita Kramer. Jim Turner and Onita Kramer, if you are listening today, give the Sports Leisure office a call Monday or Tuesday to pick up your $100 in tour cash. And that's your Sports Leisure Traveler update for July the 10th.
And we are the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. Special guest in the studio today from Virgin American Airlines, Henry Bernacki, and Yuki Gallatin, frontline. What is your official title? Do you have
customer service?
Customer service agent.
Her official
customer
title.
Customer service.
You.
The best customer service agent in San Francisco is her title.
She does everything. I've seen what these folks do. Basically, they're supposed to do everything but load the bags and push the plane back. And if you work at a small airport, then you load the bags too.
Well, okay. Did we get our caller back?
We got our caller back. Hi, Joan.
How you doing?
Welcome back. You had a comment.
Yes, I wanted Henry to know. I think that his writing, I don't know him personally, but after listening to him on the radio and what an interesting guy you are, Henry, I wanted you to know that I think that you're super sensitive and your writing style reflects that. I'd fly with you because of that. So Virgin Airlines can pat themselves on the back for getting you to do it.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Joan. That was really very nice. Thank you for being a listener of the travel. You have your own fan club, Henry. I mean, you'll be more popular than the travel guys here before long. We should mention to folks, because I've forgotten to do this for 45 minutes, if you go to travelguysradio.com, those of you who listen to this program on a regular basis know that we post links to everything that we have. We have a link to Henry's website, his Facebook page. We have the Red and White Cruises San Francisco, the Edge Walk in Toronto we talked about in the news. And then on the other side is our Be a Smarter Traveler section with things that a solar cruiser should know, Ultimate Guide to Frequent Flyer Programs. This week we posted what happens when you return a rental car 7 months late. Next weekend on the show, we're going to give you some tips about renting a car. And Ben Schlappig is going to join us and talk about how you can get that cheap frequent flyer award. That's all coming up next week. So before we wrap up this program, Henry, you've been flying the skies now for quite some time. You work for an airline that has a little bit different philosophy. Why are people – we did a survey here. It's not scientific, but for a couple of weeks we took people. We asked them what airline they liked, and there was a definite – there were two carriers that people mentioned. They mentioned Southwest, Frontier, JetBlue, the group of low-cost carriers in the U.S., and then they randomly listed international carriers that they liked. Almost nobody listed legacy U.S. carriers. Why are people so down on United, American, U.S. Airways, Delta? What is it that they have done? What is it that they do that changes the game?
Well, I've never worked with them, but when I've talked to my friends that are over there, a lot of it's just the division between upper management and the employees. And they feel that disgruntled because of the fact they've taken pay cuts, but the upper management takes bonuses and the ticket prices stay the same. And so that's what they say is there's the division of that. And what makes the Southwest, Virgin, where they're the fourth year in a row with number one domestic airline.
So you think it's the trickle down effect that also ends up impacting, you know, the morale of the employees for that airlines, therefore perhaps worse service, not as friendly of a flight attendants, and people just say I'm just not paying it.
If they don't like their job, I mean, who doesn't like their job isn't going to do as good of a job on it as
really.
They would if they enjoy what they did.
I completely agree with that in any aspect of whatever you're doing and as an employee. You know, if you don't like what's going to happen, it's at the top and it trickles down. To me, I personally think that flying is a privilege. I mean, I have the health, the mindset to do it, so I'm very blessed to be able to do that and fly for a great company, great management. Mark Bergar and Rob Bendor are my chief pilots, and they're great people. I can go in and talk to them.
And ultimately, Richard Branson is, I guess, your boss at the end of the day?
It's 24.9%. He owns only that much. The rest is all coming from the United States because it's illegal for a foreign person to actually own more than 24.9%.
But do you sense his – I mean, he's a guy who he has an adventurous spirit. He flew around the world in a balloon. This is a man who does weird stuff intentionally because that's what he likes. He likes to be himself. I sense that carries over to the airline.
It does. You actually do a personality test. Just because I fly an airplane or flew before in the past doesn't mean I'm going to get hired. We have a really small percentage of people actually getting hired. You take a personality test even as a pilot. In-flight does the – customer service, the gate agents, GSTs, we call them, they also do this personality test. And if you don't have the personality for Virgin, you're not getting on. I mean, no matter what you could fly 20,000 hours, you're not getting on if you don't have that personality.
Yuki, let me ask you. You work for an international carrier, so it's a little different. But Henry has flown for an international carrier. And we talked before we went on the air about how people in your position don't last very long because they get burnt out.
They do.
It's a tough job.
It is.
Like being yelled at all day is not any fun.
Start.
I mean, you're one of these people who has to listen to this all the time. How do you decide who you're going to help and who you're not going to help?
Well, I do not decide who I am not going to help. I will help everybody.
But if somebody comes up to you and they're a little bit more reasonable than somebody who's a little less reasonable, I mean, in other words, what we're trying to tell folks here is what works when we're talking to you. Courtesy, perhaps?
Smiles.
Mm-hmm. And smiles in a small talk.
Perhaps a little bit of understanding that the person on the other side of the counter may not have the power to do what you want them to do.
Yuki, do you find yourself in the same position? A lot of people that are in the food service business that, you know, they come to the table and the meal isn't what the person expected, and maybe it was an issue back in the kitchen or wherever. But the heat is always on the waitress or waiter, and gets all the heat and the blame for what went wrong. Do you find that, you know, that's in your position what happens?
The most difficult things is, I have to deal with so many different people from Asia and Westerners, Easterners, and they have different backgrounds.
How many languages do you speak?
Only two.
Only two. Oh, okay.
English and Japanese.
Yes.
Well, that could be problematic.
It could be. I mean, for a lot of people who are traveling internet, what do you do when you get somebody who's having a hard time communicating with you, and you know this person is about to pass through customs
or pass
security?
Out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you must be concerned sometimes that.
Yes, I do.
That you have support staff there that helps out.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
All right. Henry, I guess I'm going to ask you here. Do you have any closing thoughts? We sure thank both of you. First of all, our audience needs to know that these two people took the time out of their Sunday to drive all the way to Sacramento today to be in the studio with us so that this would be a better program than doing it over the air on a couple of cell phones or
really,
something like
that. Really, we really, really thank you. By the way, ladies, Henry is probably the most handsome pilot you're going to run across, and certainly one of the youngest. Henry, it seems like every pilot I see is, nearing retirement age. Are people, young people like yourself, not interested in being pilots anymore? What's up?
No, I moisturize. That's why I look young. That's what I tell passengers. They always think I'm too young to fly, but I assure you, I have my driver's license as well as pilot license.
Do you put on a baseball hat or, come out with a pacifier in your mouth? So that would be kind of.
I want to come out with thick glasses and some buck teeth and run into the wall. But I don't think the lure is there, because your first year job, you make about $16,000.
Really?
And then you have to pay your dues. And a lot of kids these days, as you know, the young generation are not going to.
You know what I think?
When
the next time that Henry joins us, I think we should talk about how do you get to be an airline pilot? I mean, I'm sure there are lots of kids out there and people who would love to know the answer to that. So let's make that a priority for next time.
A couple of words about Henry's book before we wrap up.
Yeah, you can find out details about it. You can go to travelguysradio.com. Global Henry is the name of his website, but Travel Guys Radio has all the details for you. And as you heard from a couple of callers today who heard Henry on his first interview here on the program and took the time to get the book, it's a short read. It's only about 160 pages, and it's something that, based on having read the first part of it, by this time next week, I'll be able to tell you what it's all about.
And so you'll know neither one of those calls were people that knew Henry or were solicited by TravelGuysRadio.com.
But I'd like to thank you both for allowing me to come back to your station and come up this time rather than just do it over the phone so I can meet you personally
as well. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And Yuki, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you guys get a little bit of insight. And as a tour operator, I'm on the other side of the counter. I'm in the back of the plane, and so it's
for a reason.
It's fascinating to talk to you folks. So thank you for coming up and being a part of our program. Next week on the Travel Guys, we have a really exciting program for folks. We have
you'll know, ladies and gentlemen, this is the first I'm hearing about it.
The first you're hearing about it. Ben Schlopik is going to join us.
Ben.
I have asked Ben. Ben is our expert frequent flyer man. Just so Yuki and our guests know here today that we have this gentleman who comes on and talks all about how to get a frequent flyer ticket and how to beat the system, in essence, how to work the system. Yeah, so Ben will be with us next week, and he's going to take you through how to get that 25,000-mile frequent flyer ticket. We're also going to have a segment on how to rent a car and avoid all of those extra charges. We'll walk you through it step by step. That's the Travel Guys next week.
Yeah, and then Mark is going to explain why he had a car rental for 7 months and then finally got around to returning.
Yeah, actually, go to TravelGuysRadio.com and scroll down the Be a Smarter Travel thing. What happens when you return a rental car that's 7 months late is on there. There's some other really cool stuff on there if you're traveling internationally. I want to take a second here before we go and thank Lonnie Wong from Channel 40, who did a terrific story last week. He was following up on that cruise accident off Mexico. He came out and interviewed me. I just want to say the most professional reporter I have ever met in all of my years in working with the media, really did a terrific job and a wonderful story. It's on the website, too, there, if you'd like to see it. So thank you, Lonnie. Remember, we are the Travel Guys. An hour a week is all we ask. Tom, have a good week on the FM there.
You too. 93.1, Classic 93.1. See you on the radio playing your classic hits of the 70s.